There's this notion in alchemy that the combination of fire and water creates a pearl. So it's like that pearl of great price or the pearl of wisdom that we find when we kind of alchemize these different elements within us.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Ruby Ray podcast. This is your host, Jacqueline Norton. I'm really excited to share this conversation with you today. I'm speaking with Jennifer O'Connelly. She is a womb shaman, a keeper of the Celtic lineage and the Celtic rose path, a Celtic priestess, and someone who deeply, deeply embodies the wisdom of this ancient and forgotten Irish way. Today, we are talking about the Emerald Order, the womb waters, and the mermaid mysteries, and the mermaid consciousness, dolphin, and whale medicine. This episode is really full of not only Celtic wisdom, but the medicine that comes from the mermaids and the whales and the dolphins, and this lighter, more playful consciousness and the alchemy that happens within it. And it really feels resonant for where we are now as a collective, as Saturn has now moved into Pisces. I'm feeling the return of the waters in such a strong way, and the activations of the waters and the remembrance of the waters. Not only the waters and the molecules within the waters themselves, but also the deeper mysteries of the creatures that live within the waters and what our relationship is to them and how we can connect to them and learn from them. So if you feel like you are yearning for and need of that kind of medicine, or of connecting with your Celtic roots, or even just receiving the wisdom of this lineage, or more curious about it, check out Jennifer's website at CelticGoddess.org and check out some of her videos, listening to her drumming, or just reading around some of the different information that she has on here. There's tons of knowledge, and just even listening to one of her videos of her drumming and singing is very, very pure and potent medicine that feels very true. It's a very beautiful, flowing conversation today that covers a lot of grounds in this path, and really rich wisdom that we can apply to our own life and help us to bring in some more of that divine feminine consciousness, wisdom, Irish Celtic wisdom, and deep, deep embodied knowings, return them back to our life and to our remembering. Thank you so much for being here. Here is Jennifer. Was there an initial experience that was a turning point in initiating you or getting you back on a remembrance of your path to Ireland?
Yeah, it was a very intense initiation, to be honest. I was living in Alaska at the time, and this was about 4 years ago, and it was the summer that Alaska basically was on fire. There was like 40-foot walls of fire, and a lot of acres were burning, and the whales were swimming up shore dying, and like salmon were dying. So like climate change really hit the Arctic, and we all felt it up there. Like, it wasn't on the news. All during that time, I ended up being basically drawn to this very specific place in Ireland called Slieve na Cailleach, which is the hill of the Cailleach, or the sovereignty goddess. So while I was kind of in this like intense grief portal, I just Googled, where do I see the spring equinox sunrise from the stone circle in Ireland? Because I just knew that like that's where I had to be to heal from this kind of like climate grief. Because I was like grieving the mother. I was like grieving the loss and the loss of the feminine. And basically Ireland like magnetized me here. And I landed at this hill called the Hill of the Witch, Hill of the Cailleach, and I was there for 6 months in initiation with the Cailleach, and she's kind of like, she's the womb tomb, like she's the the goddess that's like the goddess of transformation. So she kind of helped me through that grief portal out the other side. And that's kind of where my pilgrimage began, really.
Were you connecting with your Irish roots at all before then? Did it come just out of nowhere? Like, how did you get that initial reconnection back to Ireland?
Oh, no. I mean, I've wanted to live in Ireland since I was a child. Like, I'm in County Mayo now. Like, my grandparents were always talking about County Mayo. And I actually always wanted to live here. I guess just, like, it wasn't the right time for her to call me back yet, you know?
So what was it like for you going back there?
It was the most bizarre feeling of homecoming. Like, it didn't make any sense. Like, I knew where things were. Like, I knew where sacred sites were. I just knew things about the land. Like, I knew when the hawthorn berries would be on the trees. Like, I knew that it would snow in February, but not a day before. Like, I knew all these things about the land that I really had no reason to know, other than just it was my own past life memories that were still in my body, you know?
Yeah, it's so wild. When you got there, did you think these knowings just kind of returned to you, or was it remembrances of what your grandparents had said? Or
no, I mean, it was definitely through like my maternal line that I think it was like a medicine woman kind of gift was in that line, but it was more from walking the land itself and like literally touching the stones and the hills and the waters. It's almost like, oh, it's so hard to explain, but maybe like my consciousness was imprinted into the land. And so like, I was just meeting myself that I had left here, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it was more of like, it's so hard to explain. Like, I would touch these standing stones because I went on this pilgrimage to all these standing stones. And when I touched them, it was just like, the best word I can describe is memory, right? Like, I think a lot of us are feeling like it's a remembrance. So yeah, it was like the land unlocks our memories. That's the best way I can describe how it felt, you know?
Did you ever have a moment of like such awe or such almost shock that it almost felt scary, or any just abnormal responses?
Yes. So like when I was at that sacred site I was telling you about, the Hill of the Kaliak, the witch, it's a cairn. It's like a big womb temple cairn made of stone. And then there's like stone circles surrounding it as well. So like the whole place is very much like a womb temple. It's kind of like a cave or something, you know? But I was up there like for 6 months drumming and like touching all the carvings on the stones and just like really, really deepening into the wisdom of that hill. And I did have an experience there that basically changed my life forever and like blew my mind, and I've never been the same. Do you want me to share it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I finally integrated this, right? This was 4 years ago. Like at the time I was in complete shock, fear, baffled, whatever. I actually met a star ancestor, or otherwise known as an ET. So yeah, I was up there at this hill drumming, and this being started to basically come communicate with me. He was about an 11-foot tall, like light being. He told me that this hill was actually a portal. It was the cosmic womb portal. You know, women used to go in there and drum and have visions, but they would connect to the stars, right? Like the whole Celtic Trinity, it's all about like humanity, earth, and stars are one. So this hill basically initiated me into cosmic consciousness, if that makes sense.
How did it happen? What time of day was it? Were you up there just by yourself?
Yeah, I was by myself. How it happened was, so I was staying in a hostel right at the base of the sacred site. And this being just started appearing to me like in my vision, but he was very real. Like he looked real to me, right? I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't hallucinating. Like I wasn't even drumming, nothing. He just appeared because I was in such a high vibrational state at that point that I think I could access other realms, you know? But he just appeared to me in physical form, and I got totally terrified. And for 2 days, I ignored him, but he wouldn't go away. He was in my room, you know, very respectfully. He wouldn't come near me, but he was just like, I really need to communicate with you. And when I finally kind of like, I broke down and I was bawling my eyes out because I was just in total shock about what was happening. But he came and he sat down next to me and he downloaded a lot of information to me about the Emerald Order. And so that's actually where all my information comes from about the Emerald Order, to be honest.
Was through that one experience.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like it's my understanding has deepened and I've integrated, but even the phrase Emerald Order came from this being. And he told me he was an Arcturian. So I don't know if you're familiar. with the starseeds realm, but yeah.
I am. I mean, I know there's different characteristics to all of them. I'm sure when it lands in your actual reality, it's like a whole other thing. You said he was really tall, but what other characteristics, like physically, did he have? What was that process like cognitively for you going through? Like, how long was he showing up before he finally sat down and talked to you?
Yeah, so it was about 2 full days, I would say, where he would just appear in the periphery of my vision, or he would stand in front of me. And he just was, he had his hands folded in front of his chest, like very respectfully. To me, he felt like a light being that had chosen to kind of appear in a human form, if that makes sense. Like, he was just very high vibrational, but he was like very white. And I think he was bald. He had like kind of bluish green eyes, but it was just very shimmering. Like, his energy was very ethereal looking, almost like transparent, you know? But I mean, I guess through the initial fear, like once I really broke down and cried and finally like let him in, like I said, okay, I see you. Because before that, I was pretending like I didn't see him, you know? So like, as soon as I like agreed that I, you know, I do see you, I'm willing to communicate. I've never felt anything like it, actually. He literally almost just downloaded like a direct telepathy, like third eye to third eye type of thing. But just so much came in. Like, he said, you know, you're a part of the Emerald Order. It's an ancient order from Ireland. You know, it's like a druidic order. The Essenes are in there. The Rose lineage is tied up in there. And he basically just said, you know, he told me, and this was right when COVID had first been announced. So he told me, this is the beginning of a massive human awakening of consciousness. And it's very important to inspire the people, make sure they know that like the light has won, like the victory of the light is totally assured. And like, there's so many benevolent star nations looking out for humanity, and you are going to ascend into this cosmic awareness, you know, soon. It's going to be like a quantum leap. And, you know, we are like your cousins, basically. Like, we are more evolved and advanced, but like, we know that if humanity advances, then we also advance, because, you know, they know we're all connected, basically. And his vibration was just, the best way I can describe it is like pure non-judgment. Like, I don't know, he was just clearly a being of light and love, you know? Like, he was just like a wonderful being. He really was.
Wow. So,
I know.
That's just wild that just came into your reality. And did he give you information around like the roots of the Emerald Order and the original template that it was created from?
Yes, exactly. So it's just so much though. Like, and it was the weirdest feeling, because it was probably only to me what felt like, you know, at most maybe 3 minutes, but he somehow downloaded like hours and hours worth of material into my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. It's kind of like a monad, yeah. Or like, it kind of is like a zip file that you get, and then you have to open up the zip file and sort all of the documents out.
I love that. I haven't thought of it that way. That's exactly what it was. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's great. But yeah, so basically he just, I guess he gave me the awareness and the complete, like, unshakable faith after that encounter that humanity is millions and millions of years old. And a lot of us didn't necessarily originate on Earth. You know, we originated before Earth was even formed. Humanity is this divine angelic blueprint originally. And we have been massively tampered with and hybridized on multiple levels in our consciousness and in our bodies, you know? So it was like good and bad, because he was saying all these amazing things about the future. But then at the same time, it was like, you're going to have to accept that what you thought was real was a lie, kind of a thing. So it was a big integration process, you know?
When he said that, was he referring to what's going on in humanity as a whole?
Yes. And like, this whole timeline that we're in, this COVID thing and the vaccine and all this, like, it's just a repeat. It's a repeat timeline of what the more negative ETs have done to humanity for a very long time. And the main thing they've done is they've given us amnesia, you know, like, that's their main weapon, is they give us amnesia. And that's why I think as women with like priestess souls, we are beginning to like literally clear out our wombs and like treat our wombs like stargates. We're clearing out our pineal glands and we're accessing memory again. And that's why I think like remembrance is kind of a key word amongst a lot of women right now. I don't know if you've noticed that, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think we're having to find our relationship with these initiations that are happening that are very deep and very profound, and they're all happening through the body. You know, the remembrance is happening. It's coming back online through the body. And so as women who are going through these experiences, A, it's a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's just like years of clearing the body, of healing, of deep healing, of commitment to it, and then to start receiving those insights or downloads or whatever you want to call them. But we also are living a very like normal human life too. And so to make sense of these sort of supernatural things, which feel actually very natural, and then like to find a path of, like for me, it's finding a path of where these memories are waking up, and these feminine arts or priestess arts or that path is rising from within, but in a way that's feels authentic to me, and not just because it's something that's becoming popularized on Instagram, and something that feels like more real and more sacred.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, like, I'm not even on Instagram because I feel, of course there's amazing people on it, but there's just a little bit of falsity in like that whole priestess notion. Like, to me, being a priestess is a fucking hard work, you know, like it's
yeah.
not flowy dresses and beautiful. Like, to me, being a priestess, like, you're tear stained and there's blood on your face and your hair is filled with moss and thorns, and like, you know, it's a rough path to walk.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just it's a sacred path. And yeah, there's a lot of distortion with it too, you know?
There is. And to me, it's like to be in devotion to a specific path or lineage or something that is, it's a path that's bringing you a deeper into devotion, but also deeper into the mysteries as well.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. It's like we all have our little, we dip our toe in the river at different places, right? So like we all kind of have different experiences through different lineages. Like we're not all a Magdalene, or we're not all an Essene, we're not all a Egyptian, whatever, you know? It's like, it has to be authentic, otherwise it's not real, right? Yeah.
And recognize how they all weave together too. And it's like, how do we bring back the sacredness of this path, but without the ego of it? Because eventually we individualize, we get insights from different places. Basically all of them are ones that we had never could have predicted or foreseen. But then it's like all of that dissolves, right? Like all of our individualization or all of our becoming our most individualized selves or choosing a specific path, all of that dissolves because there's no way we could possibly define the infinite reality of what we are.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's strange too, like here in Ireland, I go to a lot of these standing stones around the land. That's kind of been like my pilgrimage route for the past 3 years. I go to these really rural standing stones, but a lot of the time, you know, the druids place them on ley lines or at like magnetic vortexes or something, but they communicate with other parts of the world. As in, like, one time I touched a standing stone and it brought me to Iran. Like, it brought me through a ley line to Iran. So, like, this is a planetary system. So, like, even if one culture might have wisdom, it doesn't mean that the wisdom's any different in another culture. It's all universal wisdom, right? So, yeah, exactly. It all kind of dissolves into that, the sacred, right?
Yeah, and the universal wisdom, the different lineages are working in tandem and in harmony with each other. Like ancient Egypt was happening parallel to the Druids. And although ancient Egypt, it's more widely known and accepted, but the Druids, and they were also sharing a lot of the same teachings and sciences.
Absolutely. And like, you know, I don't know why I believe this, but I believe it so firmly. I think Irish really helped build Egyptian civilization. Like, I think the Irish were in Egypt before some of those dynasties began. I'm not sure why I feel that, but yeah.
Really? Like physically there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah. What makes you think that?
It's just one of those knowings that I have, you know, like I don't have the research to back it up or anything, but I just, maybe memory, you know, like, I don't think that I think they traveled, as in like the Druids would have traveled to Egypt and shared a lot of the information, kind of a thing, you know?
So how has being in Ireland shaped your journey and kind of your understanding of the lineages that you carry, but also the history? How has the land informed you of the history?
Well, I'm mostly just like, as I've been here for like 4 years now, I'll basically just get a little intuition to go to a specific place. You know, like at first it was me, the Boyne Valley. I was in the Boyne Valley for a long time. And then I was in Kerry for a long time. And then I was in Donegal. But I'm just basically taken, like as I listen and as I travel the land and like just lay on the grass and with my drum and touch the stones and go in the water, like the land just speaks. And so I just listen to what the land is saying, like where I should go next. And she, like the land of Eru, Ireland, like she's brought me on like a magical carpet ride. That's the best way I can describe it. Like she really has. Like she just embraced me and like she told me what to do. I did not know how to start an online business. I didn't know what I was doing, but she literally like was a force moving through me, and she created this whole website. She created all of it through me, you know, like the goddess was overarching my life for a long time in a very, very real way here. So I guess it was just about intuition and trust, you know?
Yeah, and listening.
Listening, yeah. Listening.
And I love how the land just, it simplifies everything. Like when you're there in Ireland and you're in this eternal embrace from the mother, and it just feels like so, like you can finally relax and get our bodies relaxed enough to be able to hear. And I'm sure all of the answers were probably there or could be there in other places, but it's like to be in a state and be in a place where you can fully like receive it and listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the time the places came to me like in dreams before I knew where or what they were. And like usually it comes through song. Like I'll just have a dream about something, or like some song will almost like sing through out of me or something. And the song is like the song of the land that I haven't even been to yet, but it's calling to me. So, I mean, like, it's honestly been kind of miraculous. Like, I can kind of not think about it too much and just go about my day. But like, if I really think about the experiences I've had, they've been pure land miracles, you know? Like, and that's why, I don't know, I just have faith that the more we listen to the land, like the more she'll heal us. Because it's not like humans need to heal the land. It's like, no, the land needs to heal humans. You know what I mean?
But it is also like a symbiotic relationship too, where it's like she at the same time needs our love and needs like our attention. Because back to what you were saying before, like we have really forgotten. We've lived our life as a society that's forgotten Earth as a sentient being.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like, actually, that's kind of what I learned. This was my biggest lesson, actually, or one of them. And like, I wrote a story about it, and I called it like the test from a priestess ancestor. But I went to this one stone circle once, and like, I brought my drum, and I usually bring honey to gift to the land. And, you know, I was trying to drum in and trying to tune in and feel the energy, but I didn't feel anything. It felt blocked, you know, and I was about to actually walk off because I just was like, oh, maybe the land won't accept me here. And something stopped me, and I just turned around and I went over to this one stone and I put my head on it, and I just like impulsively said, like, I love you. Like, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I just kept saying it, and the whole vibration of the stone circle shifted, and it would just turn into like a different experience, because as soon as the ancestors knew that I loved them, they accepted me into the sacred space. You know what I mean? So like, love was literally the land wisdom. Like, you can't just go and expect to receive something without giving love. That's what I learned.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really lovely.
Yeah. It's so simple too.
Yeah, exactly. It's so simple. And they're so, those priestesses, like, they carry an energy that I have never felt in, you know, myself or current women. It's like they honestly had some level of integrity that I feel like we've almost lost or something, because we've been so wounded, you know? this was like before the wounding of the divine feminine. So like they didn't have to prove anything. Like they just knew that they were the sacred guardians. And like, that's the energy that they gave me. And yeah, it's just something I really would like to get back to one day, you know?
How would you describe those knowings that you received from them?
Well, okay. So they put gold bangles on my wrist and they started speaking to me in like this like light language kind of thing. Like it definitely wasn't Old Irish. It was some kind of other language. And they basically were just kind of like, you know, all we did was love Earth. Like it's not some egotistical priestess, like, oh, I'm a priestess. It's like, no, all they did was love Earth. Like that's it. Like, in pure integrity and in pure heartedness.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is so good. So that is so funny. We cracked the code, guys. Love the Earth.
Yeah, and you know, like, I don't know, they were filled with Earth's knowings and Earth's wisdom and like Earth's kundalini. Like they just embodied it and they're filled with it, you know.
Oh my gosh, was this at that same experience at the stones, or was this a different experience?
This is a different little cairn, actually. Yeah, it was called, actually I won't say the name of the cairn for some reason. I'm always told to not say the names of things because I think it's not the real name. But this was on the border, you know what I mean, like it's like some British, I don't know. But this is on the border of northern and southern Ireland. So,
oh wow,
powerful energies, you know, like
yes,
troubled, heavy energy, and these poor priestesses were just like, we've been here for so long, no one has come. Yeah. So,
oh my gosh, that's a different kind of priestess up there.
Yeah. Like they felt forgotten, you know what I mean? And that's why it wouldn't open up until I said, I love you. Because, and you know, when I said, I loved you, tears came out and I was, my tears actually touched the stone. And I think that's what opened the stone, was my tears. So yeah, it's water and stone has memory, you know?
It does. And that's kind of why I asked if you had any strange reactions to going back to these sites, because I remember when I went back, when I was in Uachtaráin, the middle of Ireland, the ancient heart, and when I was at Bridget's Well there, and I just I started walking up to the waters, like the well, and I felt like a child again. Like I felt like almost like scared to like approach it. Like it was the weirdest feeling. My heart just like burst open and I just started crying, just like overwhelmed with emotion, and it didn't make sense and I didn't know what I was feeling. I didn't know why I was feeling it. I didn't know. It's funny how we can reach these certain levels of maturing onto a path or being comfortable with it or deepening into it or finding our own rhythm within it, whatever you call it. But then it's like I find myself in these instances where I feel like a baby again, where it's like I'm just completely, you know, rocked to my core.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which is maybe like that childlike ability to even be rocked to your core, like that could be an element of like spiritual maturity. It's not even like being a baby, it's like just being open to the sacred, you know, like being vulnerable and fragile, and we don't know anything, you know.
It is so vulnerable and none of it makes sense. And it is, maybe that is like a key part of it, to like approach these places with that openness and with that curiosity and with that kind of childlike wonder, because you never know what kind of experience is going to meet you. You never know what's going to emerge. And it's ignorant to act like you do know, you know, like, and probably closes you off to like whatever you're meant to receive there.
That's so true. Like the word like numinous and like liminal was just going into my head when you were speaking there. Like you can't open yourself up to these numinous experiences if you think you know what it's already all about, right?
So true. How would you describe the word numinous?
I like never use that word. It just came in when you were talking.
It's a really good word.
It is. Like numinous as in kind of like what you're saying, like it's so much bigger than us and it's like always there, but we never tap into it. That's to me, like in the moments that we do tap in, that's like that numinous relationship we have. Cause like, I don't know, I guess just to survive, we have to be confined into our bodies and like, you know, surviving and making our money and doing our thing. But like, we're always attached to this deep, profound mother's love that's like always surrounding us, like a warm bath around us, kind of like a, almost like if we fell, she would still hold us, kind of a feeling.
Yeah.
You know, just touching that for a brief moment would be like a numinous experience. Like, yeah.
And recognizing that, like, we do live our lives with one foot in one world and one foot in another world. We are going about our day doing our things, but we're also, like, living with a cord still hooked up to the other side, too. And I love what you said about the bath, because we do have to be in a state of relaxation to receive it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, relaxation and, like, surrendering to... maybe destiny is the wrong word, but just like surrendering to, I don't know, just like this force that's moving through us and everything, like, and not trying to like force things or resist things, but like just being in that place of presence, you know?
Yeah. It reminds me of what you were saying when you were talking earlier. What came through my head when you were talking about is the answers are always right in front of us. When you were talking about laying on your back on the earth and just hearing the earth speaking to you so clearly. And it just reminded me that the answers are literally always right in front of us. We kind of, we overcomplicate everything. Just like the priestesses were saying, we just love the earth. That's it, guys. Come on. You know, it's like... it's like, well, we just saw the answers right in front of us. We weren't seeking them. We weren't searching from them. We were just seeing them right there.
Yeah.
Is there a moment that you can remember that really just brought you to your knees and like shook you the most?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, you know, I've been here for 4 years. I've been going to a lot of sacred sites. I've learned to integrate in body, and nothing's has shaken me like too deeply lately. But when I first went to Newgrange, did you go to Newgrange when you were here?
No, but I was supposed to.
Yeah. When I first went to Newgrange, like you go, you have to go on a tour, like the site's protected. So you go into the chamber and then you come out and you have about 20 minutes, I think, to like wander the temple. But when I came out of Newgrange, I went and touched one of the stones, and I literally was spiraled up into like outer space. Like I literally felt my body like entering into a vortex, and my spirit like shot up into some who knows what dimension. But I passed out, like I fainted. Yeah, and like I've actually never fainted in my entire life. Like Newgrange was the only time I ever did. But I was on my back. I lost consciousness for maybe just like a split, you know, I don't know, 10 seconds or something. But like my friends, we were supposed to go back to the bus because, you know, the next tour was starting. Like you're not really allowed to just wander the property. The bus had to wait for me for like 10 or 15 minutes because I could not stand up. Like I was just flat on my back. Totally knocked out. Yeah.
Where did you travel to?
Well, I mean, it was just the frequency was so high that my body couldn't fully integrate it in that moment, you know? But where I think I went, I mean, I actually don't know where I went, but it just was up to some council, I would say, just like a council of light is the best way I can describe it. Because I did, I saw like a blinding light and I just was taken into a vortex of light, like the brightest light I've ever actually seen, really. So yeah, that happened. And then when I went to Ishnok, same kind of thing happened. And this was the first few weeks I was in Ireland. Like when I went to Ishnok with a friend, same thing. I didn't pass out this time, but I started crying so hard that like I couldn't actually get my breath. And I had, and I was like shaking pretty violently just from touching the cat stone and like the druid crystal that they kind of tucked behind the well. And the place was so powerful. And like the ancestors were so loving and the vibration was so high that like my body just basically, you know, freaked out for a minute. I've never cried so hard in my life. It was at Ishnok.
Wow.
The love, like the love was so strong, you know, it was pure, pure love. Like the ancestors loved this earth and they loved each other. And we've, absolutely lost that on like a very deep level, you know?
Yeah.
We have a lot.
And the level of care for each other too. And that's something that I really noticed still lives on in Ireland through the people. It's just like the kindness and just the warm-heartedness and just wanting to be kind for the sake of being kind, not to get anything in return, not to prove a point or to look good, like look like a good person. There's just like a real genuine kindness, and it was so refreshing.
That's good that you had that experience here. Yeah,
but like the level that comes from the ancestors is just, I mean, it's really even like hard to fathom when we do go to those places where you can feel it so strongly. It feels like overwhelming because we're literally learning and recalibrating our bodies to hold and to know that level of love again.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it's so ironic, but like real true love actually hurts really bad. You know what I mean? Like it hurts the light. It hurts the same way looking at the sun hurts. You know what I mean? It's just so.
Why do you think that is?
I just think the current vibrations of Earth are so, they're lower than we can even fathom. I think, you know, like compared to how Earth was like in Lemuria and other times, we're just coming out of a dark age. Like, I just think we're barely seeing the dawn light, like the rays of source and love. And, you know, like it's, there's a lot of darkness on the planet right now.
And also it's changing so quick too. I'm just noticing my body. I've needed to sleep so much the past few weeks, month. When I sleep, it's so deep in the dream time. And it's like, I know our bodies are recalibrating themselves and learning how to hold more light at the same time. And back on what you were saying about a quantum leap in consciousness, we got really low and now we're learning how to, like, it's not even like we're learning, it's like we're, it's happening regardless. The light is coming through, there's more photonic light coming through, we're feeling it in our physicality more.
Absolutely. Like, we can't stop it, right? It's just happening. Like, I slept for like 2 days straight. Like, we were supposed to meet on a call a couple days ago, and I just slept right through it. I'm sorry.
No, that was the new moon, the black moon. And I was just sitting there, and I'm like, today is, we are in the void. Like, we are in the black moon today. Like, it was just complete stillness. Like, I had no sense of time. In total timelessness, and just everything's felt very flat, very like, whoa, what is this? I don't know what day it is.
I still feel like we're just coming out of that now. Like the new moon was very strong, but I still feel like we're on the tail end of the void. We're kind of in the void still. Doesn't it feel like that?
Yeah, because of all of these planetary alignments, I will say that I definitely feel more activation energetically since that day. But on those days when it is black moon, I just surrender completely into it. And I've learned now to not try to fight it or resist it. It's like, I know those are my days for just going inward. But since Uranus has come direct now, I'm feeling that activation, revving up of that electric energy, you know, that Uranian quick, sudden, impulsive, like that flash of insight, or it's like a very spontaneous kind of energy. It doesn't think, it just goes. And I'm feeling that. It's like my engines are like revving up, you know, like they're starting to like come, the spark plugs are starting to come back online after winter, you know. It's like, vroom, vroom. What about you? Like, how are you feeling? We're in like a really weird time of year where it's coming out of the dark womb of winter into spring, but we're not at spring yet. I get what you mean. It does kind of have that void like feeling still.
I love this time of year though, actually. And okay, you know what Friday this week is in Ireland?
No,
it's the Mermaid Saint's Day. Yeah, really? So there's a mermaid here. She's named Liban. Liban, yeah, L-I, and then a pause, and then B-A-N, which means beautiful woman, or like, you know, the beauty of women. Yeah, but there's a myth of her that I'm like weirdly connected to. But basically, she was a princess. She was a daughter of the king of Ulster, I think in like, I don't know, 400 AD. And the well in her village overflowed, or like a spring overflowed, and created this huge lake called Loch Ness. And everyone that she knew died except her and her little puppy. And her and her dog ended up surviving in this underwater cave, or this cave under the lake. And she prayed to the goddess Danu to be transformed into a salmon so she could go swim out with the salmon and have some company. And Danu instead transformed her into a mermaid and her dog into an otter. And they swam the seas for 300 years. And then the story goes that, which I don't even like this part of the story because I don't think it's true, but supposedly the Christians found her and baptized her and then turned her into a saint, and she ascended up to heaven. Yeah, that's her story.
Made her a saint. Classic.
Yeah, basically, she was a water goddess. She was a mermaid goddess. And like, I just figured this out a couple days ago because I was going to offer a ceremony for Liban. So like, I'm glad I can share it with someone because I just figured this out. So like, Imbolc is coming February 6th, right? That's like the astrological Imbolc is February 6th. So that's the fire festival in the Gaelic wheel of the year that is between winter solstice and spring equinox, right? And it means in the belly, as in like fire in the belly, as in, you know, the mother is growing and she's going to give birth on Beltane or whenever she gives birth. And Bridget is really involved with Imbolc. So it's all about like the light. So Liban, I just realized Liban's day is January 27th. It's basically 1 week before Imbolc, because if you imagine the light in the belly, like the life growing in the belly, like what is in the belly? It's water. Like the womb is water. It's like the amniotic womb waters, you know? Liban is just like, her myth is just describing the actual like cycle of life. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not necessarily that she's a mermaid. It's just that the women were all kind of water priestesses to a degree, because our wombs are filled with water, you know, and that's where babies come from. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, beautiful.
And the water is the emotions, and what an essential stage that is, because we go into the darkness, into the earth in winter. We grow through the water. We grow through the womb, through the emotions, through the healing waters. Like, we're held in that, the waters of the womb as we grow. And that's like what holds us and keeps us safe as we grow and nurtures us as we're growing. And then we birth, and that fire, that's like life force, that's vitality and creativity and like being filled with the spirit.
Yeah. And then the air, the first breath after the birth, it's like the breath. Breath means like soul in a lot of languages, you know, like Anam is spirit, and Anal is breath in Irish. So it's quite related, you know. There's so much wisdom in these myths, and like, they're not literal, of course, right? Like, they're just explaining the four elements and the cycle of the year and like the directions and how they move through our body in this process of alchemy and life. And it's just so simplistically profound, like you were saying, right?
It is. And then there's always more depths and more layers that we find to it, and deeper connections. And then like how the cycles and the seasons work for a mirror for our own lives. I found so much more acceptance for myself, my cycles, my seasons, honoring all of it just through moving with the wheel of the year. That's it.
Same here. Like, it's like the one thing I've had on my wall for like 4 years. It's just like the wheel of the year. Like, that's all I need to look at, you know?
It's like the only thing that makes sense at this point. I know. I'm like, all right, I don't know what's going on in this world, but like, I know we're coming up on Imbolc, and like, I know these shifts. I can feel them in my bones.
I could not agree more. I've been saying that for years. I'm like, I don't know what's going on in the world, but I know the sun rises and I know the moon orbits, and that's all I know.
And I know it's a new moon, so we're going into the void. I'm good. Call it a day.
Call it a day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the druidess simplicity there. But also, like, I don't know if you notice this. I'm guessing, I feel like you do. If our bodies are basically just an extension of Earth, then we can feel the wheel of the year rolling over our bodies. As in, like, right now, I feel Liban. Like, I forgot her day was next week, but I was like, wait a minute, Imbolc's coming. What does that mean? Oh, Liban is here now. Like, so the myths live in our bodies and our memories because our bodies are experiencing them, you know? Like, it's a body whisper. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it is embodied.
Yeah, there you go. Embodied. Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Embodied. In body. It's happening in our bodies. Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's so wild that you brought that up about the mermaids, because I was watching a video about the mermaids yesterday and like the return of the mermaids and that energy. And so it's just like another synchronicity that's linking up with the mermaids have a part to play in this too, in their myth. Because they're the waters and they're the healing waters, but they're also,
absolutely, yeah.
And this kind of actually relates to Bridget too, because to me, the mermaid energy is also this being okay to shine, being okay to be beautiful, to be in like your feminine or to be just yourself. And you know how the mermaids will just sit on the rocks, right? And they're just in their radiance and in full acceptance of that. And then like coming into Imbolc and like Bridget, and Bridget's like that fire to be who you are and to express yourself authentically and creatively. And if you hold back that part of yourself, like her fires will burn you, you know, or you'll burn yourself because your fires are out of balance because your creativity isn't expressing itself in a healthy way, you know? So it's like she keeps that like eternal flame of the heart going so that we can come into a balanced and healthy expression of who we really are.
Absolutely. I love that. That was really cool. Absolutely. Yeah. Because like there's definitely a connection I feel between mermaids and Bridget. I'm really feeling it strong this week. I kind of perceive the mermaids to be like of the goddess realms. You know, I don't know if they originated on Venus or, you know, I don't know, but they just feel very, they hold the goddess vibration or the mother principle, you know, even just the magnetic kind of siren song and like that pull downward, you know, like to go deep and connect to the mother in the womb and like the song and sound. And I think singing is very important for connecting to the goddess too, you know? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's an activation that happens like when we open our throat. Yes. Because there's a fear usually that's blocking that opening, and then opens, it's like that higher consciousness that comes through us. And I also think of with the mermaids, like how going back to that universal language of how mermaids are woven throughout all different cultural myths. If you go to all of these different places, you know, in Africa or in the Bahamas or in Haiti, you know, they have a mermaid in their myth there. And so it's like all of these different places in the world weave these mermaid myths too.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a mermaid. I think mermaids are real. I mean, they exist in another dimension, but I've seen mermaids.
So what was your experience with that been like?
I worked as a paddleboard guide for a while, so I'm always out on my paddleboard in the waters. And I like to just go out like with my drum on my paddleboard and call on the mermaids. Like, I kind of secretly wish I was a mermaid, you know? Maybe I am.
Yeah. That's really where it's coming from. You're like, maybe if I drum hard enough, this tail will grow.
Seriously, sometimes when I'm very like meditative, I'm just like, man, I was supposed to be born with a tail. What happened? But yeah, so no, I did see one in Ireland, but she was huge. Like, I thought a mermaid would be like this pretty little thing, like little, like a fairy or something. But she was like as big as a whale or something. And like, she was very strong. She was huge and she was really strong. Her tail was like silvery and blue, and she was just extremely, she was like a mermaid queen or something. But like, ever since then, I've connected to them, and they're not quite as like innocently lovelorn as we think of them. Like, they're actually quite, very fierce, you know, like, and actually I've been able to call on the mermaids a few times, like for protection, and they really take you in as their own. It's like this whole sisterhood kind of a feeling, as in like, you know, once you're in with the mermaids, like people don't fuck with you kind of a thing. Like, that was my experience.
Hey man, that you put that on the bumper sticker. I'm in with the mermaids. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, and if you, I don't want to totally like butcher these cultural stories that I don't fully know, but I want to say it's Haiti and their myth. It's like, you don't go near the mermaids. Like, you don't mess with the mermaids, you know, they, because they can like take you under, you know, take them with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was very interesting. I was experiencing some kind of like psychic attack of like just like a fear vibe that was kind of coming into my field. And I really was trying to like get rid of it, clear my energy. So I went into like a shamanic journey to figure out the root of it. And I had this whole beautiful pack of mermaids come take me as their own. And they basically removed this fear entity from me. And it was actually kind of scary. Like they set me aside, and like with this fear entity, they turned from these beautiful women into these like almost like piranha looking beings. Like, and they fucked up. Up, you know, like they want the mother energy to be anchored in the waters. And so they're pretty sick of anything that diminishes the feminine. That's my feeling of the mermaids, you know?
Interesting. And so maybe that's why you got a more benevolent expression of them, because you were drumming to them, you were like honoring them, recognizing them. And then maybe more for men, or if they're feeling disrespected, it's like that's where their other side comes out.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. But I mean, they're just protecting their waters, you know, like they get a bad rap of the whole siren song thing, but you know, they're just, all they're doing is encouraging men to enter into the depths of their own being, you know, they're not trying to lure them to death.
And into like their feminine waters, and to integrate that and to become more integrated, to be more whole.
Exactly, into the deep emotional realms of the feminine, you know, like they're not trying to drown anyone. They're just trying to like, they want to be like, dude, you know, you can just grow gills and a tail. Like, you're not going to drown, you know?
And isn't that such a symbolism of the feminine too? Because here the mermaid sits out on the water and her like, seashell bra or whatever we believe it is, looking very alluring and sexy and sensual. And that sort of is symbolic of the surface shine of femininity, where it's all about the outward appearance and the physicality and the beauty, the more superficial element of it. Mm-hmm. Being on a rock, mm-hmm. just flaunting your stuff. And then like, you go into the depths and you go into the deep waters of the feminine, and those deep waters, the only thing that exists, the only thing that makes sense is a deep love for the mother and the mother nature and the mythos and the everything just kind of merging into one. And and it's murky down there. There aren't like boundaries or anything, because everything is just swimming in the oneness at that point.
Exactly. And it's almost like when you were just talking there, I was getting this image of like, you know, the mermaids almost represent the inner beauty of the feminine, because like, yes, they can look beautiful on the outside, but at the end of the day, like the true beauty of the feminine, like the virtues of the feminine, like grace and compassion and wisdom, you know, those are found in the depths of our beings. Like, they're not found in doing our nails and our hair and things, you know. So the mermaids are like, they're calling to the men who can be brave enough to dive in to that depth of the feminine beauty and see the inner beauty of the woman, you know?
I love that. Yeah. And I feel like they're calling to the women too, to not be afraid to go into our depths, you know, to see ourselves for more than our outward facing beauty, and to like really know that our gifts and our value come from what lives way, way, way deeper in us, and like to not be afraid to go into those waters. And kind of like what you said, when you had a school of mermaids gather around you and they're there to hold our hands or initiate us or just swim in those deep waters with us, just so it's like we have friends when we're swimming in those depths, you know, because it can feel lonely when you go into those deeper, darker places, which is a very primal feminine place to be. It's very natural, but it can also feel intimidating or isolating or unsettling.
Yeah, because the water can hold a lot of chaos too, like the tsunamis and hurricanes and whirlpools. Like, imagine all the ways water can be quite fierce and violent. That is the womb too, though. Like, the womb is both creation and destruction equally, you know? So it's really just like not fearing the feminine depths. That's what the mermaid is all about. And that's why I love mermaids so much, because like, they're very, I don't know, I can't do small talk. I never have been able to do small talk. Like, I always just want to talk about deep, deep, deep shit, you know? Like,
yeah, me too. I'm like, all right, hold on, baby, because we're going there. Also, it makes us to be okay with the dark, to accept the dark, because for so long we've been conditioned to fear the dark, which is basically fearing the womb. It's fearing the mother. What do we grow in for 9 months to come into our human form? The womb, the dark, yeah. The water. It's the most nurturing and primordial essence that there is. And yet we've been conditioned to think if we're in the dark, then we should be afraid. Then there's something to fear, that we are not safe. And that's basically saying, like, we are not safe with the mother.
Right.
And yes, obviously, we live in a modern world where there are issues with safety for women. And I'm not discounting those or discrediting those. What I'm saying is being comfortable in the darkness, in the solitude with yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Like the psychic darkness.
In the lessons that live there, the answers and the lessons, and there's so much that the dark is filled with.
It's true. Like, if you think about a baby in the womb, it's just floating in a black waters, right? Like, that's all it knows really at the time, but it's nourished.
It knows that, and it knows like its mother's heartbeat.
I want to go back to the Emerald Order. Is there more that you have come to understand since this initial encounter?
Okay, yeah. So basically, as I understand it, as a being of the Emerald Order, it's all about following the Law of One. And I know the Law of One is spoken about quite often as if it's like a quite complicated system or something, but it's literally, from what I see, the Law of One, and this is what I was taught by this, you know, this energy that came to me, this pure love energy. It's that when we have the capacity to see all beings as God, and so we treat everything as God, as in like a worm is God, you know, you are God. Like, we treat each other as if we're just reflections of the sacred, the same way that we would treat the thing that we revere the most, basically. So that's the Law of One. And when we practice that, that would be us living in harmony with creation and with divine laws, really. So like the Emerald Order, it's like an ancient ancestral wisdom of angelic humanity that knows how to live in pure harmony with creation, really. And the way you do that is by treating all beings as if they are sacred, really. That's the gist of it. Like, and it's so simple. Like, it's so simple. Like, there's nothing complicated about the Emerald Order, really, other than the fact that it's been so hijacked and distorted, you know, and a lot of its principles have been taken. I think maybe like one of the only principles of the Emerald Order really left is like that Druid maxim, as within, so without, as above, so below, you know, because that's kind of saying it is within and without. And like the sacred will be reflected externally when we become sacred in how we perceive everything from within.
What do you think gives it the name, the Emerald Order? Where do you think that derives from?
Well, emerald is, I think, the color of the heart. So this is like the heart wisdom. This is like living from the heart. This is just like very deep heart wisdom, really. And it requires going deeply into the heart in order to be able to do this too. So the emeralds to me would just be like the color of love, kind of. And that's why it's like the order of love.
Yeah. And it's the heart wisdom that's like coming from the land too. It's coming up to the heart, like from the land, from the communion with the land. Did you know anything about it before you had this encounter with this being?
No, I had never heard anything of the sort. No, it was just a very intense encounter and download that took me a while to integrate.
Why do you think he wanted you to know about this now? Why is it relevant to these times that we're living in now?
Well, just because we're in like the end times of a massive galactic battle that's been going on for a very long time against humanity. And you see it with COVID and with the vaccines. So these are just like repeat timelines of when the Anunnaki have already invaded. They've already wiped our memory clean. They've already hybridized us genetically. So the Emerald Order, it's also about reclaiming. I'm getting angry all of a sudden thinking about this. The Emerald Order is about reclaiming our genetics, our pure genetics that allows for embodying consciousness in our own beings. Like, you know, you were saying, like, there's more light coming in. So like the Emerald Order, it's almost like the wisdom of how, of the mechanics of the body that will allow that light and love in to be embodied, you know, within ourselves. I'm not sure if that's making sense, but yeah.
No, it does. Is there anything about it that's like revealing to you now after going through this integration process?
If anything, I'm just seeing like where in our myths there are still markers of it. So like I can recognize for me, like I do very little research. I really just feel the energy of certain things. So like to me, I know the Emerald Order was represented by the Essenes and the Cathars and a lot of the Rose lineage and the Templars. Like a lot of them were following the Emerald Order and maintaining that wisdom throughout time. It's also related to the Holy Grail, the myths of Avalon and King Arthur and Guinevere and the Round Table. Like all of these Celtic and British and Welsh myths, they hold the wisdom of the Emerald Order within them because it's the Emerald Isles, the Celtic Isles that it was really anchored on originally. Like the Celtic Church really anchored the Emerald Order down. And that's why I remembered it through the stones of Ireland, because it was encoded into the stones for me to remember, you know?
Mm-hmm. The Grail bloodlines and the lineages of the Cathars and the Templars and the Druids and the Magdalene lineages, all Avalonian, they're all sort of under the umbrella of the Emerald Order. And it's this universal wisdom of coming back to oneness, of living in oneness and like seeing everything as sacred. And this order, these teachings were kept alive through these certain lineages. Is that correct?
Yeah, because it's the heart, it's love, it's the frequency and vibration of love, and all of those different orders kept the Emerald Order alive within them, you know?
Yeah, those teachings or mysteries are kind of woven within them, and then like so many of them, they're waiting for the right time to come back again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, I could be wrong about this, but I do believe that the whales, like the cetaceans, also their song can activate memories of our Emerald Order knowing, if that makes sense. I think whale song is one of the most high vibrational sounds that we can hear on the planet now.
Yeah. And dolphin sound too. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of all the COVID stuff, when I got sick with COVID, all I was doing was listening to these dolphin frequencies. It was like the only thing I could handle. And I don't know what, you know, why I just like intuitively just turned them on. I mean, probably because I was that bad that I just needed that healing, you know? And then I came out of it and learn that the dolphin frequencies and probably whale song too, their frequency is so high and it's a certain like code that it actually blocks the technology of COVID or the frequency of COVID. It acts as like kind of a counterbalancing effect. Yeah, which is wild. And oh my gosh, that is actually so crazy. Now that I'm thinking about this, it literally just hit me as I was explaining this to you now. It was in that week and a half of like incubation of being in a dark room, not being able to eat or sleep, really, like just laying there in the dark, but like conscious but not doing anything. I would literally get up the bed off the bed to go do something and just fall back. So it was like this constant state of just very liminal and listening to these like frequencies. And actually it was when I came out of COVID on the other side of it that I just had this like voracious desire to, I needed to learn everything about my Irish and Celtic lineage. And it was just like, I just started boom, like just going into it. And that's when I was like, I need to get back to Ireland. I need to do this. Started connecting to Avalon very, very deeply. I grew up, The Mists of Avalon is like my mom's favorite book. And she was always telling me to read it and everything. And, you know, I just thought it was some book that she liked to read. I didn't really think like anything of it. And then in that time, Avalon literally like woke up inside of me. I needed to just know everything about it, but I didn't know about it through reading the book. I don't know how I knew about it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Amazing. Like I just had a huge body chill when you said that. Like when you said, when you came out of the side of COVID, you tapped into your Celtic lineage. Like my whole body was like,
and I didn't even connect those dots with what you were saying about the whale song and those frequencies and like how that's connected to it. And also like, I've been researching and remembering the poet Seers of Ireland, and how they would go through this deep, deep training where for years they would be trained in this. And what they would do is they would basically lay in a dark room all day, and then they would come out at night once the sun set, and they would stay up all night writing poetry based on what revelations they had during the day. But the poetic process for them was laying in darkness, in nothingness. And it's just so interesting to learn that this was the process. And literally that's like what I was doing, just laying in a dark room, and the level of insights that can come just from that. So that was really wild to like learning about their processes, because I've always written poetry and I had no idea the connection between the poetry and the verse and the Irish lineage as well. So it's like all these dots just started connecting.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's like you're something when you conquered COVID, you know, when you said, you know, to your soul, I'm staying in this high frequency. It's almost like your higher self is like, okay, well, you can embody more of your deeper gifts from your DNA now, because you kind of like conquered this, you know, whatever this was, with the light, right? Like with the higher frequencies, like you probably were literally opening up your DNA with those dolphin sounds, you know, like.
I know I was, because it's, I don't know if you've ever come down with it, but it is like a spiritual battle. Like I felt that it was this like helmet over my head, and it was trying to like get into like my consciousness.
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting. I've always perceived, okay, so when I had COVID 2 years ago, the only thing, I had this a similar experience, just laying in bed, couldn't even walk to the store really, you know, and I felt like it was a spiritual battle between fear and love within my own self, because it was getting quite bad. Like I actually couldn't breathe that well. I was getting a little freaked. And then I was like, wait a minute, I can breathe fine as long as I choose love. And like, I went up and I went to the store. And for me, it's my high vibrational contacts are like whales and bees. So for me, I went and got bunch of bee medicine. Like I got bee pollen and royal jelly and raw honey, and I just basically fed myself all this bee, like this honeybee hive medicine, and literally within 2 days I was completely fine. And I was like, yep, that was a spiritual battle, and we had to choose love and high frequencies within our body, and like that's all that it was about. Like it was that's trippy. Like you use the dolphins and I use the bees, but they're both very high vibrational, like Gaian earth frequencies that healed us, right?
Yeah, and very ancient. I mean, the mysteries like within the bees are just like infinite.
Yeah, and there's actually a bee priestess here in Ireland who's one of my guides. Her name's Gobna. She's in Ballyvoinie in Cork, and she originated on Clare, but she started a convent in Cork, and she spent some time in the Aran Islands. So yeah, she was one of my original spirit guides from Ireland. Like, she actually came to me when I was still in like Seattle at the time and brought me to her well here in Ireland. So there was a bee priestess in Ireland too.
So how did she come to you?
So I had started doing a shamanic practice at that point. So she came to me in a vision. She was wearing this like long silvery blue cloak, and she was drawing water from a well on one of the Aran Islands. And she basically was just like, you know, you need to come to Ireland to find me and remember who you are, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Did she keep on returning to you again, like in your journeys?
Yeah, she's actually been the one that's stayed with me this whole time for the past 4 years. Like she's kind of my primary guide. Her name's Gobna. Yeah,
it's so wild how it finds us when we get the call. And when we do, it's like an all-consuming thing. It's like nothing else even matters but that.
Yeah.
A way always opens up to like when our soul gets that call to be somewhere, and it knows it has to be there, and it's in service to like the earth and to our higher path and to the whole, the collective as a whole. When we intend to go to work with the land and have these callings. And I'm just saying this to anyone listening who's had these callings, like doubted it before. Always just ask for a way to be shown to you. If you're like, how am I going to make this work? Come back to that place of humility and humbleness, and come back to our knees of like, I'm feeling this call. I don't know how to do this. Show me the way, guide me. And then like doors open.
Yeah. There's that sweet spot, right? Of like, there's no doubt, but there's no like overconfidence either. Right. Like it's a sweet spot of
yeah.
Flow.
It's trust. Yeah. And it's also like a willingness to be guided and a willingness to be led, you know, but like also the faith is a huge part of it.
Yes. It's like, I see it as like, I sometimes would kind of say this affirmation in the morning, like, I choose to align my will to the divine will, and then I know I'm in flow, you know?
Yes, it's so good. It's so good. I have one that I say, just a little prayer. It's like, empty me of me and fill me up of you. Empty me of my ego self and fill me up of my divine self. Kind of goes back to the waters, which is so funny because I had no idea we were going to like go into the waters today. Thinking about the 12th house in astrology, which is a Piscean house. And it's like when you go through all of the wheels of the zodiac, and then it's where everything exists in your fully individualized self. And then the only next step is to dissolve your ego or your self-identified self and completely like shed your ego and your over-identification with like your humanness, enabled to be in service to the whole.
That's interesting. I was thinking about this concept of ego a few months ago, actually. I had just been to Govnitz Well again, and I know there's a lot of talk in spiritual realms about ego and like getting rid of our ego and all this, but for some reason, I never fully resonated with the notion of like getting rid of ego. Like, if anything, I needed to have a stronger, healthier ego, you know? So I was doing like some research on where the even concept of ego came from. And it's from a Latin word that means I am, but like it originated with Western psychologists. Like they just made it up. Like it's a theory, you know what I mean? Like it's not fundamental truth, I don't think, of human nature. And so like when I was thinking about this, I was meditating on it a lot and journeying on it. And from like the Celtic perspective and like from the goddess perspective, I don't think ego is even a thing in her realm, because in ancient Irish, you don't say like, I am sad. You say, I have sadness on me. You don't even say like, I have red hair. You say, I have my share of red hair. Basically, the whole entire concept of like the I am and the ego, it started with Latin, as in with Roman times, as in with patriarchy. So like from the lens of the goddess, like, I don't think women are supposed to be trying to kill our ego. Like I genuinely don't think it's a thing that relates to a woman on the goddess path. I mean, I just don't think it does. Because think about it. If you say, I have sadness on me, I have happiness on me, you know, you're already identifying yourself as a being connected to source that has like temporary experiences, but is an eternal being. And that's like the whole Trinity. It's like the notion that we are eternal. I don't know. I just think there's a lot of wisdom maybe in dropping the whole entire concept of ego.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And I get that it's like, whoa, this is a relatively new concept. And what's the deeper wisdom here?
Yeah.
But I also see the conditioning that we've taken on of the distortion of the ego. So I guess like when I'm talking about it in the sense, and maybe ego is just the easy thing to call it, my interpretation of it, and I'd be interested to like hear reflect on what this would be like from a Celtic perspective, but it would be everything that stops you from being your true self. If you go to like express yourself, if you want to just go and share something or express yourself authentically or whatever it is, and then that part of you that comes in and goes, oh, I have to present myself a certain way, I have to come off a certain way, I have to, oh, I can't do that, because there's like that identification with the self, or maybe like the false self of how you want to appear, how you want to, the facade or whatever mask you want to put on, instead of just being like your messy, raw, beautiful self, you know, and like letting people fall in love with that. So what would you say if it's not the ego? It's the thing that is stopping you or blocking you from allowing others to connect with your humanity in its just raw, authentic form. Yeah. And it's like the thing that's stopping you from showing up to give your gifts to the world or be of a greater service because of that thing that's telling you like, I'm not pretty enough or I'm not perfect enough at this skill, or what would that be?
Well, that's not something that I perceive to be an element of like the feminine or the goddess consciousness, because to me that, okay, this interpretation maybe sound judgmental. Hopefully it doesn't, because I deeply respect masculine. We're all masculine and feminine. But I do think we're going through an evolutionary process right now where like the masculine is having to heal the big mother wound, kind of. So it's had to differentiate itself from the womb, right? Because like women grow, all men. So like obviously they have a different psychological process than us. But I think their process is very different from the feminine process. And they have had to create this structure that separates themselves from the womb waters, because otherwise they would just be constantly floating in the womb still. So like, to me, you know, Freud and Jung and all these male psychologists, and even like the entire ethos behind the Roman patriarchy, it's kind of like the masculine consciousness trying to figure out how to be masculine and not feminine, if that makes sense. That's just kind of what's coming through for me right now. And I think right now we're in this like integration period between the two hemispheres, like between spirit and science, between masculine and feminine, within us and without us. And I honestly don't perceive the ego to be a concept that relates to the feminine way of reality. That's just from my perspective of like how I feel the goddess energy, you know? And like, of course it served a function, but I don't know if it really serves women, priestess women, to be honest. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure, you know, that's just kind of what I'm feeling at the minute.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to understand, are you saying this is a distortion that has been kind of taken on and become our own? We've self-identified with it, probably an element of patriarchy, and the true goddess wisdom would just be, it doesn't even have that notion of not being true to self or of blocking that natural expression, being who you are. So when you come into alignment with that sort of deeper wisdom, it's almost like the ego, it's not that it has anything to do with the ego, but it's like that whole mental construct dissolves because there's something in place way stronger, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And like, I don't think it's necessarily a distortion. I just think it's an element of growth and evolution, because we're always just, you know, souls evolving and humanity's just evolving and expanding and regenerating. But yeah, it's just not something that I've resonated with ever really, but particularly since being very deep in these kind of goddess realms of consciousness, it's not a thing that exists there, you know, it's just not, to my perspective.
And so have you ever had to like work through those issues? And if you did, how were you able to, using a more goddess or Celtic framework?
Like the issues of which ones do you mean?
Authenticity, or of not being afraid to express yourself or be yourself or do what you want to do in the world. Like, you know, just these kind of different things that we could say the quote unquote ego is blocking us from doing, because we're basically too consumed in the self-identification to like serve a bigger task or mission.
Well, I mean, I guess in some ways, because I've always been kind of weird, you know, like I've always been just quite content with like a handful of friends. Like I've never had the same kind of goals as others. I probably have had very different experiences. I'm kind of a loner. I think never quite ever wanting what society told me I wanted has really served me in a strange way, because just being called weird or different or being bullied or whatever, you kind of just start to not give a shit, you know, like. And that's sovereignty at the end of the day. Like, why would I care what anyone thinks about me? Like, it doesn't actually have any bearing on myself and my existence in the world, really, at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have any bearing on my experience of life unless I let it. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of freedom in like dropping a lot of these societal things we're supposed to care about.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, like, I've been a weirdo my whole life. I don't really give a damn. I don't know. I'm just like...
No, and there's so much medicine in that, though. Yeah. There is that strength in knowing who you are and loving who you are and accepting who you are enough to let any of those outside voices just, like, to just not penetrate you.
Yeah, and it's just like, plenty of people don't like me. I know that. I'm fine with it. I sometimes don't like people either. It's normal, you know? Like, I don't need to be liked. I don't need thousands of followers. I just want to live authentically based on my own genuine soul path. And that's why I like the whales and mermaids so much, because it's like all about our soul path at the end of the day, right? We're the only ones that we have to live with our whole life. No one else is going to walk into the light at the end of our life with us except us. So we might as well like ourselves and like our choices. And
we might as well like ourselves while we're here. Is that too much to ask?
I know. It's like so ridiculous, right?
It is. And it's to not let someone else's understanding or perception of us influence our perception of ourselves and to not be rocked. And that goes back to that heart wisdom. That goes back to the Emerald Order, because when we are anchored in our heart, when we are anchored in its higher wisdom, when we are receiving the knowledge and the gnosis and the communication from the very center of our being, that's what we're hooked up to. It's like our anchor is in the ground. We're unmovable.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Like, I just had a feeling of an anchor. So yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Very beautiful. Oh my goodness. Such a good chat. Oh yeah. My gosh. Went so many directions that I just love. I loved flowing with. Is there anything that's coming up for you right now that you want to share?
No, I guess I would just suggest connecting to the Wheel of the Year and appreciating Liban this Friday and celebrating Imbolc next week. And just lots of blessings to everyone.
Yeah, thank you. And that's funny that you said the Wheel of the Year, because literally what I wanted to ask you was, what do you think is the medicine that the wheel is giving us right now for this very interesting area that we are in right now, late January to early February?
I think it's like knowing that light comes from water, life comes from water. Something about fire on water, like the combination of water and speaking, you know, like there's something there, some alchemy.
Yeah, because the fire can put out the water. Or I meant water can put out the fire.
Yeah, and like, there's this notion, it's not from Celtic necessarily, but there's this notion in alchemy that the combination of fire and water creates a pearl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's like that pearl of great price or the pearl of wisdom that we find when we kind of alchemize these different elements within us. So right now, to me, like what I'm going to do tonight is have a bath in the dark and maybe light a candle, you know, like be in the dark. And there's some alchemy that can happen in our body when we allow the energies of fire and the energies of water to like combine. It creates something. It creates something within us, like a union of sorts.
Yeah. Well, and think about fire and water also creates steam.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
And like how steam can rise on you and like on your skin, and that in itself can be like a pearl.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I've been going into a steam room a lot the past 2 weeks. I've been like having the urge to go to the spa with a steam room. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. You're like feeling that alchemical process happening this time of the season. It's like the fire and the water elemental energy that's helping us turn into spring and like turn into this new, this new station in the wheel.
So cool. I love that. Yeah. I love how like, as I'm speaking and then when you speak back, it just like, I have these visuals and it helps me understand even what I'm saying. Yeah. You're a wise woman.
Hey, well, we have to do it together, you know? Yeah. That's how we learn.
Synergy. It's beautiful. It's cool. Yeah.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, I think it feels wonderful to wrap it up here and continue into everything that is unfolding and presenting itself before us for this new cycle and where we're at. And there's just so much deep, deep wisdom and juiciness that was shared today. So I'm really grateful for it, but also like the levity and the playfulness and the fun, which I love. And I love how you bring that. And it just reminds me of the dolphin and whale medicine too, you know, just like that playfulness and that lightheartedness and that levity. And like, we've had such a heavy feeling couple of years, and I'm really feeling like this energy shift right now, and I'm just feeling like that lightness and that levity and that playfulness. And so here's to, you know, embracing more of that and bringing more of that dolphin sound, whale song into our next cycle, and just remembering that play, the way the dolphins just play and the mermaids just play and swim together, like
whenever things start to like feel too heavy, because I really feel like things are meant to get a lot lighter. I don't know why.
I really hope so. Yeah. Like, we create from the bliss body best. So I think a lot of us are deepening more into that joy, bliss frequency to create, right? Like, no more trauma healing, no more ancestral trauma healing.
Yeah, it's like, we've done that. Now it's time to let it go. Let it flow.
We did it. We went through the darkness and now we can be dolphins again.
Now we get to be dolphins and mermaids, guys. Good news.
Oh, it's so funny.
I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for finding me. It was great. You really was.
Of course. Thank you for being here and for saying yes and for sharing like all of your amazing experiences. I know they can feel kind of scary to share. So I'm grateful that you're just so open to give your experiential wisdom with us.
Yes. Just I am what I am, right? We all are who we are. Can't hide it.
Where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Oh, yeah. So I offer oracle sessions. That's the main work I've been doing. And people definitely seem to like them and they do seem accurate. So I've been doing it for about 3 years now. If anyone's interested in an oracle reading from the Celtic priestess tradition, I'm on Facebook and my website is CelticGoddess.org. So it's like a temple for the goddess, kind of an online temple for the goddess. And all my offerings are there.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It was so fun chatting with you today.
Yes, you too. Thanks a lot.